దేవానరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జాయాముధీరే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతీరుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. నమో పంకజనాభాయ నమో పంకజమాలినే నమో పంకజనేత్రాయ నమస్తే పంకజాంగ్రే. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 3 చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ లిబరేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ఇల్యూజరీ ఎనర్జీ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 23. సర్వతో మనసో సంగం ఆదో సంగం చ సాధుషు దయాం మైత్రీం ప్రశ్రయాం చ భూతేష్వద్దాయతోచితం. సర్వతో మనసో సంగం ఆదో సంగం చ సాధుషు దయాం మైత్రీం ప్రశ్రయం చ భూతేష్వద్ధాయతోచితం. సర్వతో మనసో సంగం ఆదో సంగం చ సాధుషు దయాం మైత్రీం ప్రశ్రయం చ భూతేష్వద్ధాయతోచితం. మతజిస్ సర్వతా ఎవ్రీవేర్ మనసః ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ అసంగం డిటాచ్మెంట్ ఆదో ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ సంగం అసోసియేషన్ చ అండ్ సాధుషు విత్ సెయింట్లీ పర్సన్స్ దయాం మర్సీ మైత్రీం ఫ్రెండ్షిప్ ప్రశ్రయం రెవరెన్స్ చ అండ్ భూతేషు ఫర్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ అద్ధా దస్ యథోచితం యాజ్ ఇస్ సూటబుల్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై ద డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీ ఏసీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. A sincere disciple should learn to disassociate the mind from everything material and positively cultivate association with the spiritual master and other saintly devotees. He should be merciful to those in an inferior position to him, cultivate friendship with those on an equal level, and meekly serve those in a higher spiritual position. Thus, he should learn to deal properly with all living beings. We'll continue to read the purport from yesterday. Therefore, one should cultivate the association of the Uttam Adhikari or pure devotee of the Lord as stated previously, Bhagavatam 11.3.21. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasushraya uttamam shabde parecha nishnatam brahman upashramashrayam. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. On the other hand, one should avoid the association of a materialistic person even if such a person is outwardly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Shri Rupa Goswami has advised in this respect, Krishne tiyasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantamisham shushru shaya bhajanavigya mananya manya nindadi shunaradame pshitasangalabdya. One may mentally offer respect to any living entity who is chanting the holy name of Krishna, but one should avoid intimate association with materialistic persons, especially those attached to sex enjoyment. Tamo dwaram yoshitam sanghi sangam. If one associates with a sensuous person who is attached to the company of women, by such association one will surely go to hell. But if a materialistic person approaches a pure devotee with the sincere desire to hear from him about spiritual improvement, that first-class devotee may mercifully give him his association, provided the purpose of such a meeting is advancement in the devotional service of Krishna. By such association, even a materialistic person can gradually become a pure devotee of Krishna. If an advanced devotee is not able to engage a materialistic person in the devotional service of Krishna, such association is strictly forbidden. In the Garuda Puran, it is stated, Visheshata svottameshu vina sangam na muchyate swanicheshu tu deveshu vina sangam na puryate. One cannot be liberated without association with the pure devotee of the Lord, and unless one shows mercy to those in an inferior position, one's life will be superficial. It is our practical experience in the Krishna consciousness movement that those who are expanding their mercy by preaching the message of Krishna are making rapid spiritual progress, and their life is filled with transcendental bliss. Those who neglect the quality of mercy, being uninterested in the missionary activities of the Krishna consciousness movement, are not filled with transcendental pleasure as described here by the word Puryate. Not being filled with spiritual pleasure, surely such persons attempt to fill their lives with material pleasure through sense gratification and mental speculation, associating with women or reading innumerable mundane novels, newspapers, news magazines and so on. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the preaching activities of the Krishna consciousness movement are Anandamudi Vardhanam, the ever-increasing ocean of bliss. Missionary activities are based on the principle of Dayam or mercy to those who are fallen. Those who are actually preaching become enlivened by associating with other preachers. This principle is called Maitrim or friendship among equals. The power to carry out such preaching activities as well as the proper guidance for distributing Krishna's message comes through the principle of Prashrayam or humble service at the lotus feet of spiritual authorities such as the spiritual master. If one preaches Krishna consciousness sincerely under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master and in the company of fellow preachers, one is perfectly fulfilling the statement of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and thus he will come to the point of Sarvato Manaso Sangam or complete detachment from the illusory energy of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated, Lava Matra Sadhu Sange Sarva Siddhi Hoy. By becoming attached to the devotees of the Lord, one will achieve all perfection in life, going back home, back to God. And the purport will conclude tomorrow. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Et Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram. नमाओं विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चाद्देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरूपेश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग फ्रॉम वेयर द्वारकाधीश प्रभु डिस्कस्ड यस्टरडे। There are two very significant themes in this verse. First is, disassociate the mind from matter. And second, attach the mind to Krishna or spirit. And in today's section of the purport, we are reading how this disassociation of the mind from material is only possible and is sustainable if we positively associate with Krishna's devotees and spiritual master. And this association basically means what? Means hearing, chanting and service in the association of devotees. This is the emphatic point that's coming out in the purport today. So, to disassociate from mind, we need other Vaishnavas. Our His Holiness Gaur Krishna Swami Maharaj would say that when a brahmachari, this applies to grihasthas as well, I guess. He said, when a brahmachari is traveling alone, he is traveling with his mind. And when he is traveling with another brahmachari, he is traveling with his intelligence. So the point is how association helps. And if you are alone, there is a danger of the mind being dragged to material things. That is what is explained here. And here the emphasis is on association of spiritual master and devotee, which means basically hearing and service. And in today's purport also there is another very interesting statement that if we hear and serve the materialistic persons, then we are dragged down. Tamo dvaram yoshitam sanghi sangam. This verse is quoted that how a materialistic consciousness is a vicious trap that drags us down. And when I read this purport, immediately what came to my mind was Prahlad's instructions to his classmates in the 7th canto, 6th chapter, text number 11 to 13. Which is very profound, and the purport that Srila Prabhupada writes there is equally deep, very deep. So in this instruction, Prahlad is telling his friends, Katam priyaya anukampitaya sangam rahasyam ruchiram shamantran suhur sutat sneha sita shishunam kalaksharanam anurakta chitta. He is explaining the psychology of a man who is extremely materialistic and how he gets degraded. He is explaining the sequence, the steps. He says first he wants a priya and he wants to have very nice association with her. Katam priyaya anukampitaya. He thinks she is going to be very merciful to me. She is going to be very, very loving to me. Anukampitaya. And then he seeks association in solitude. Sangam rahasyam ruchiram shamantram. And what does he want her to, what kind of association he wants with her in solitude? Prahlad is saying ruchirams, he wants her to speak very pleasing things into his ear. Ruchiram shamantram. He wants her to speak mantras. That is a very, very nice poetic way of saying that he wants to have solitary association and engage in materialistic activities. And then what happens as the result of that association? It is explained, suhur sutat sneha sita shishunam. And then there is expansion of this association. There are children. And then what happens? Kalaksharanam anurakta chitta. For the association began with a woman or the opposite sex, and then it expanded to a child, and then kalaksharanam anurakta chitta. And the broken words that the child speaks completely captivates this man's mind. And then what happens? The expansion grows. Putran smaramsha duhirte rudoya bratar sasurva pitarau chadino grihan manognor uparichadamsha vrittischa kulya pashu vrittya vargan. So then step by step, putran, then he starts thinking about his son's education, his growth, his future career. Then duhirti ridaya, then the daughter gets married and goes away, then she is always in his heart, he is remembering his daughter. And then what happens? Then he thinks about his brothers, bratar, sasurva. Then he thinks about his family, his sisters, pitarau cha dino, his elderly relatives. And then eventually he gets attached to grihan manogno ruparichha damsha. He gets attached to household gossip and mundane discussions. And parichadams. Parichadams means furniture. He gets attached to the household furniture and sofa and TV and things like that. And then vrittischa kulya pashu vrittya vargan. Vrittischa kulya. He gets attached to the property. He's always anxious about property papers, how it is going to be transferred. And then kulya is race. Whatever community is from, he is attached to that. Issues revolving around that community. And then pashu, his pets, his dog, cats, he's thinking about them. Bhritya, he's very attached to his servants. And Vargan, he may be a member of Lions Club, Rotaract Club. So he's attached to his clubs also. So like this, so you may think, is it wrong to be attached to one's family? No. Attachment is natural and it is necessary also. In fact, if my parents and grandparents were not attached to me, maybe I would have been crazy. It is the emotional nourishment that we need, definitely. So it is natural and it is necessary. But the problem happens when our life is revolved only around this. And that is what is explained in today's purport as Tamodvaram Yoshita Sanghi Sangam. That drags us down when there is no Krishna in the picture. And that's what in the third verse, Prahlad Maharaj is very emphatic when he says, what happens to such a person who is trapped by these activities? Tajeta koshas kridivehamana karmani lobada vitripta kama aupastya jaivam bahumanyamana katam virajeta duranta moha. He says, he gives a very graphic example and a metaphor he uses of a silkworm that weaves a cocoon. Tajeta koshas kridivehamana. Similarly, a man, karma nilobad avitripta kama, his desires are not fulfilled, but he's doing more and more activities, expanding, he's doing things hoping I'll be happy. But what happens? Like a silkworm that weaves a cocoon and gets trapped within it and is unable to come out, similarly this materialistic person is trapped. And all this has happened, why? Aupastyajevam bahumanyamana, because he has given lot of importance to two things. Aupastya jaivam, belly and genitals. So when our life is focused on sense gratification, katam virajyeta duranta moha, how will such a person get liberated? Impossible. Prahlad Maharaj is emphatic here. And Srila Prabhupada writes a very powerful purport. He says, for a person who is, because these three verses are in lines, Prabhupada writes a combined purport to the three verses. He says, for a person who is a victim of this kind of psychology, getting out of material world is difficult unless a spiritual master comes into his life. And then Srila Prabhupada gives an example. He says, a strong person can pull a person who is stuck in the well by throwing him a strong rope. And the man in the well has to grab the fallen person. Srila Prabhupada writes the exact statement he says is, a fallen person must take advantage of the rope and grab it and come out of the well. So in Krishna consciousness, all the classes we hear, the Srila Prabhupada's books we read, all this is what? The rope. The strong rope. So when we hear attentively, when we are attentively practicing the process, what we are in effect doing is we are actually holding on to the rope, we are grabbing it. And if we feel after some years that maybe the process is not working or we have some doubts, then maybe we are just touching the rope. Or we are holding the rope, but we are also looking at the other things in the well and we are considering. So the point is, we have a choice to hear, to chant, to apply the teachings and make changes in our lives. So therefore, attentive hearing and chanting, which is the point mentioned in today's verse, is our connection to Krishna. It is the way we hold on, we get out. And other things are there in our lives. Like sometimes devotees wonder, what about our health, what about family, what about job? Srila Prabhupada often said, do the needful. They are very important. But secondary importance. First is our primary relationship with Krishna. Sometimes we go to two extremes. One is, we ignore all our duties and responsibilities and we say, Krishna, only chanting, hearing. And because we ignore our basic needs, then we suffer. And then we go to the other extreme of saying that these things are very important, and then this becomes the goal of life and we forget Krishna. So therefore, as sadhakas, we need to see the unifying principle in all our activities, and we need to see the connection everything has in relationship to our relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, the different identities we have will confuse us. See, we have many identities. We are sadhaka, then we may also have an identity as a son, as a father, husband, as a manager in your office. So many identities we have, and all these, and each identity we have different goals and we have different duties to perform. So all of this can create a short circuit in our intelligence. We may get confused what is happening. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in second chapter of Gita, 66th verse. It's a very beautiful purport, where Krishna is telling Arjuna, nasti buddhi rayuktasya na chayuktasya bhavana na chabhavetah shanti ashantasya kutah sukham. Krishna says that our intelligence has to be focused on the Supreme. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that all disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. All disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. So our inability to see Krishna at the center, our inability to see all our activities in relationship with Krishna creates disturbance. And then Srila Prabhupada ends that purport by saying that Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition where everything is done in relationship with Krishna. So therefore, this is the foundation, hearing, chanting and associating with devotees. Yesterday I was hearing one class of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. So I have a kind of system that any lecture that comes, I hear. So it is like, not that I select a topic. So yesterday that the topic that came was art of balance. It was a corporate lecture. So my first thought that came to mind was, oh, this is going to be for the secular crowd. So let me hear some devotional topic. But because I had already made that rule, so I thought, no, let me stick to this. And I was so fascinated. It was a like Prerna type of lecture, all secular crowd. But the whole class on balance, he just spoke for a few minutes on some, examples from the world about balance and all that. And then the whole class was on Krishna and Sudama pastime. How Sudama was trying to balance his life. It was so sweet. And it was such a inspiring class. It was pakka, purely devotional. And of course, he explained how we need to balance. He gave the example of four tires. Each tire is important in a car. But the point I noted was that hearing, chanting was the foundation of this class. He was speaking just katha. Of course, you may not be able to imitate that. That's not the point. What I'm trying to say is, the principle of connecting to Krishna is very important. And today is also a very striking point that we have to avoid materialistic people. But if that materialistic person hears about Krishna, then everything will be all auspicious. So therefore, in our pitching activities, this is what devotees do. Devotees' main activity is to instill faith in the hearts of people whom we are preaching to. We want them to experience Krishna. We want them to have faith in Krishna. That is our goal. And ultimately, we may accept it or not, we all have faith. Even hardcore materialistic people, whom we like love to call many times as demons and karmins, they also have faith. Everyone has faith. Some people have faith in Krishna, some people have faith in materialistic activities. There was one lady, Elizabeth Taylor, she had so much faith in marriage. She got married 13 times. And her 12th husband was the same as her 7th husband. So that marriage registrar, whoever gives that marriage certificate, they were so frustrated with her that during her 13th wedding, when they gave a certificate, and the certificate, there is a column where you write husband's name. So they are typed there, to whomsoever it may concern. But the point is, she had faith. So as devotees, our challenge is how to increase our faith in Krishna. So faith will be challenged, it will be shaken. And one excellent way to develop this faith, make this faith grow strong, as is revealed in today's purport, is through Sadhu Sangha, through hearing and chanting in association. And this is the main message of all the Puranas, scriptures. We have often heard this very famous story of Papraj being told by, he was so sinful, Narad Muni told him that when Yamraj comes to take you, just ask him one question. What is the meaning of Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha? So he remembered that, and after his whole life of sinful activities, when Yamraj came and he asked this question, Yamraj said, I don't know the answer, let me take you to Brahma. Brahma said, I don't know the answer, let me take you to Shiva. And Shiva said, let us go to Vishnu. And when they went to Vishnu and asked this question, Lord Vishnu said that the answer to this question is, what is the benefit of associating one moment with the sadhu, is that that person is taken by Brahma, Shiva, to Lord Vishnu's abode. And Yamraj also comes with him. So you have all bought him, now you can go back to your service. So we have heard this pastime many times, how association of devotees is most important. And during all of our, I remember during IYS preaching, and even now in congregation preaching, what I do is, you know, we have selected lectures of different devotees, like Isolene, Radhana Swami Maharaj, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, and Prerna lectures. So we have kept it in a pen drive, and you know, there is a folder. So when a person comes for the program, we see first 2-3 weeks is excited, the family is excited, they want to know more, and then we see Abhi, now is a chance to connect them to sadhus. So we immediately give them this folder. We say, okay, you hear these lectures. So when they start hearing, we can clearly see, we can see the success. Success is directly proportional to their faith increasing in Krishna. So when they come, after some weeks, some of them tell us, or if we heard this lecture, this was very nice, immediately we know, okay, so this person's faith is increasing. And it's very easy to see how faith is increasing. Energy will increase, energy to serve, enthusiasm to hear will increase. Actually, enthusiasm and intelligence becomes sharp as one's faith increases. Parashar Muni, he defines Shraddha, faith, very interesting definition he gives. He says, Shraddha is that moment of clarity of mind. It means, it is that momentary calmness of the mind when we are able to see the truth within ourselves. So practically, what does it mean? Practically, it means simple. That means, our faith is increasing if at certain point of our culture of hearing and chanting, suddenly we feel, you know, it's called as the aha moment of our spiritual life. We feel, oh, what he is saying is right. This is right. I am wrong and I am happy about it. That realization, when it awakens in our heart, that is steady growth of faith. The best example of this is Srila Prabhupada himself. In his first meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very skeptical. So his friend was trying to drag him to the Ulta Danga rooftop to hear Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's discourse. So Abhay Charan was saying, no, no, no. And they were pulling and pushing each other. And it was a curious sight. People were watching that they are friends, but there is some tussle going on. But finally Abhay relented and they went. And when they saw this saintly personality, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, tall, with clear vision, is giving a discourse. And Prabhupada paid obeisances, and he got up, and even before he had seen him properly, and even before he had gathered a first impression, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur said, you are an educated young man, you should preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English speaking world. Srila Prabhupada was shocked. He said, and he was impressed also. And he was from Scottish Church College, he couldn't give up his intelligent skepticism, Prabhupada said later on. So he challenged him, who will hear your message of Krishna consciousness when India is a dependent country? And everyone the whole world of India outside that Ultadanga rooftop would have agreed with Prabhupada's statement at that time. But Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur dismissed it. He said Krishna consciousness is an emergency, it cannot wait for independence. And then they discussed for more than an hour. And then what happened at the end of it? When Srila Prabhupada came down, he told his friend that he is an amazing saintly person. And Srila Prabhupada says, I was defeated and I was happy about it. That is Shraddha. When we understand that, yes, this instruction coming from the spiritual authority is right. But generally what happens, because we are driven by ego, we generally think I am right. And it's very difficult for us to accept superior spiritual authority. And therefore, for the words of scriptures to make sense to us, we need to have a culture of hearing, chanting, and then it makes sense. The practice over a period of time. And this takes time. Dwarkadash Prabhu made a very nice point yesterday. He said, there are two things. One is disassociate from matter. But that can make us like jnanis and mayavadis. So we also need a culture of hearing chanting. And while hearing and chanting, we also need to disassociate from matter. Both are needed. And the definition of sadhana, actually sadhana means three things has to be there. First, sadhana is not 1 week project or 2 years project. Sadhana means the practice is over a period of time. It's a long time. And secondly, it is uninterrupted. It's not that, okay, now I have my, exams coming up for 6 months, I'm not going to chant anything. It's long time and uninterrupted, and it is conscious investment of emotions. All three have to be there. Then it becomes sadhana. Then it becomes a practice. So unfortunately for some of us, we may practice for a few years with a lot of interruption and with no investment of emotions, and we may feel it's not working. Srila Prabhupada once said, when he was asked how many years it took you to come perfect your chanting, Srila Prabhupada said 40 years. To tell us that have faith, lage raho, as they say, be on the path. Satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata tajoshanada shvapavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhakti ranukramishyati. Shraddha, bhakti, rati will follow when satam prasanga manavirya, when we associate with devotees and hear Krishna kata, which is what? Rasayana kata. Rasayana means tonic. We have to take this tonic every day. This tonic will give us immunity from diseases. And this will reawaken the faith which is dormant, lying in our heart for Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that there are two kinds of faith. One is balad utpadita, forced faith, like extraneous to us. Like many religious zealots, they do this. They just impose their philosophy and they brainwash people. The other is sabhaviki, natural, as Rupa Goswami defines sadhana bhakti as kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhanadvita nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatya mridi sadhyata. So this loving emotions for Krishna is already there in the heart. So when with the culture of hearing and chanting and associating with devotees and service, this dormant affection and faith in Krishna awakens. Our heart actually changes. Our desires actually change. So this is the growth of faith. I was hearing one class of His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj, and on his realizations in Krishna consciousness, so profound. He was saying that he has observed that there are three types of devotees in ISKCON. This is his realization, but it made sense to me. I could connect to it. He said, are those devotees who come to Hare Krishna movement, they get taste and they get excited and they practice with great enthusiasm, and then because of negligence and offenses, they start losing taste and they give up the process. He said, second category are many devotees who don't leave the process, but they also lose taste after the initial enthusiasm. But they don't leave. What they do? They simply practice Krishna consciousness out of some social pressure, and they adjust their behavior according to the environment, and they carry on. So he said, both the first and second category devotees are susceptible to leave the movement anytime, and if they hang around, their lives will be miserable and they will make others' lives also miserable. He said, there are third, very rare breed of devotees He says, who are constantly searching for taste. They are constantly seeking to improve their Krishna consciousness. And he said, these devotees, they may say and they may feel they have no taste, but their aspiration and their search for taste is itself a taste. Their aspiration to be pure is very, very laudable. And this is what happens. When such devotees make an endeavor, they progress. Otherwise, often what happens is, when we chant and hear for some time, we switch on the autopilot mode. Just imagine in a plane, the plane is going in autopilot. What will happen? After some time, the plane will crash. Similarly, we can't allow our bhakti to be in autopilot mode. We can't be lazy in our efforts to clean our hearts. Shukdev Goswami says, Tadashmasaram hridayam batedam edgriyamaner harinama dehe na vikriyetartayada vikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu harsha. He says that heart is steel framed. If while chanting the holy names and hearing about Krishna, we don't feel emotions for Krishna and tears don't swell up in the eyes. So the point is, yes, we need to aspire for taste. Unfortunately, what happens is, we are very ready and eager to change the externals. Our Damodar Prabhu was giving Bhagavatam class last week and very graphically mentioned how externally we make so many changes in our lives when we come to Hare Krishna movement. He said we change our clothes, we change our tilak, our habits. And he was explaining how even habits are easy to change. Like, we may start getting up early in the morning, we may become vegetarian. Srila Prabhupada was not impressed by somebody becoming vegetarian. He said even goats and monkeys are vegetarian. So then Damodar Prabhu was saying that how we are ready to make all these changes, but we are not ready to change our heart. Because that's difficult. But actual ecstasy is later, but first is, are we willing to change our heart? Which means, are we willing to change our desires? Are we willing to change our thought processes? Are we willing to change our feelings? And when that happens, then we are progressing in bhakti. There is a famous story of Buddha. One of his disciples said, I want to go and preach. So Buddha wanted to test. Buddha said, if you go and preach, people will hurl abuses at you. And immediately he said spontaneously, the disciple, no, I'll be happy. People are very nice. Even if they abuse me, I'll be happy that they're at least not beating me. So then Buddha immediately said, what if they beat you with sticks? Then I'm happy that at least they are not beating me with weapons. So then Buddha said, oh, what if they beat you with weapons? Then I'll thank God that at least I am not killed. So then Buddha said, what if you're killed? Then I'll be happy that I'm rid of this body. So Buddha said, oh yeah, now your heart has changed. You are actually seeing positive. You are actually happy to give the message. So this change of desires, change of the heart is what is actually the test. And we have many examples in scriptures. I was hearing once his holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj. He was giving a very, very nice example. He said in Bengal, some people had gathered around a cow. That cow had died. So all these Bengalis were standing around that cow and they were saying, oh, what happened, what happened. So one devotee came there, Gaudiya Vaishnav, Tilak, Kantimala. He said, what is happening? So he came around and he saw a crowd has gathered and he went near and he saw a cow is in the center and people are talking. And he said, what happened? They said, this cow has died. Really? And suddenly this Vaishnav became so happy. He started jumping, dancing. People were bewildered. What is wrong with him? Spontaneously. So then they asked him, hey, this cow has died? How can you be so happy? He said, no, I am happy because I realized that this cow has died and now the local people will use the cow's skin to make mridanga, which will be used for kirtan, and by the chanting of the holy names, this cow will get benefit and it will go back to Godhead. So Maharaj gave the connection that this devotee spontaneously did that because his heart had changed, his way of thinking had changed, his thought processes had completely changed. So similarly, if we can go through that, like for example, that famous story, milk drinking Brahman, he was actually, Lord Chaitanya actually chastised Shivas. He said, get that milk drinking Brahman out of this place. You are not allowed to be in the kirtan. So he had a choice that time. He could have thought, oh, you know, these devotees are a fanatic group. exclusivist, they don't allow anyone else. He could have thought so many negative things. But what he chose to be grateful. So it may be very difficult for us to change our desires and our heart completely, but at least we can start changing our thoughts. Or like Mukunda, when Lord Chaitanya said, he cannot see me for 10 million births. So, what did he say? I will see the Lord. So therefore, this is our process, and this is what we need to do. And we see that those who have taken part in the process of hearing and chanting sincerely over a period of time, a long time, they have actually seen their hearts change, their desires change. One of the best examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam is when Krishna and cowherd boyfriend, they were all in Vrindavan and they were hungry. Once Krishna's friends told Krishna and Balaram, Rama Rama Mahabaho Krishna Dushta Nibarana Eshavai Badate Kshunnas Tat Shantim Kartum Arhata. Oh Balaram, oh Krishna, we are being bewildered, we are very troubled by this hunger. Eshavai Badate Kshunnas. Kshunnas is hunger. So please relieve us from this hunger. So Krishna sent them to the Yagic Brahmanas. Very interesting, the response of the Brahmanas and their wives, and why that happened. So the Brahmanas, when they heard, and these boys went and told them that Krishna and Balaram are here, please give food. What to speak of rejecting? They just ignored the boys. They didn't even look at them. Iti te bhagavat yachnam shrunvatopi na shushrushu. They heard shrunvatopi na shushrushu, but they still pretended as if they didn't hear. Why? Kshudrasha bhuri karmano balisha vriddhamanina kshudrasha. Very petty material desires born out of ritualistic activity that they have been doing. Buriga. So they thought these are all childish people and vriddhamanina. We are very intelligent. Sometimes, you know, we become so expert, we know, we have figured out everyone except ourselves. Like once, I saw two devotees talking, I was in a meeting. So one devotee was very emphatically saying, Prabhu, you see now, and we were all in the same team, we were around 30, 50 of us. So he said, I have figured out all the 50 people. So this senior devotee, in a very gentle but cynical way, he said, we have figured out all 50. He said, yes, I know all the 50 very well. So he humbly said, I think you know only 49. One person you don't know. It took him some time to understand who was he referring to. So many times, this is what happens. Balisha Vriddhamanina. I am very intelligent. So therefore, because the culture of hearing is not there. And look at the Brahmana wives. What was their response? They got so excited. Chaturvidam bahugunam annamadaya bhajane. Abhishashru priyam sarva samudram iva nimnaga. Just like the rivers rush towards the ocean, they carried four types of food preparations. That food which can be what? Chewed, licked, sucked, and four types of food swallowed. So the four types of foodstuffs they carried and they ran towards Krishna. And they were stopped. Nishidhyamana patibir bratibir bandubir suter Bhagavati uttama shloke dirga shruta dhritashaya. They had been hearing about Krishna for a long time. So their hearts was overwhelmed with affection for Krishna that they ran, although Nishidya, they were stopped by their husbands, their children, their relatives, but nothing could stop them. Contrast this, Shrinvatopi na Shushrusha. The Yagic Brahmanas were hearing, but they couldn't hear. Here, Dirga Shruta Dhritashaya, they because the culture, the practice of hearing for a long time, so they ran. So therefore, this is our hope. Constantly hearing, because the Padma Puran, there's a very nice verse which explains Shabda Brahman Parabrahman Mamubebya Shashvati Tanu. Krishna is telling that Shabda Brahman and Parabrahman are non-different. But Shabda Brahman Nishnata Parabrahman Adigachyati. If we become expert or if we become proficient in connecting to Shabda Brahman, the sound vibration, then we can Parabrahman Adigachyati, then we can go to Krishna. And you know Sridhar Swami in his commentary to the second verse of Bhagavatam, which says, Sadhyo Hridaya Varudhidatra Kritibi Shushrustubi Takshanat. Krishna is immediately captured in the heart when there is a culture, Kritibi, pious activity, or a sincere effort to hear and chant, Krishna is captured in the heart. And Sridhar Swami writes in the purport, Akirtir Bhavul Ulambane. But if the practice is not sincere, then Krishna's being captured in the heart is going to take a long, long time. So this is our process. There's a very nice pastime regarding Sripad Madhvacharya in this. Sripad Madhvacharya was once giving a discourse and his disciples were all sitting and he was giving a very deep topic on Upanishads. So one of the disciples, and the disciples thought that we are very special because, you know, Madhvacharya, Sripad Madhvacharya is giving us class. So one disciple raised his hand and said, "Acharya ji, who will be your successor? Who will translate and give commentary on all your works?" So they were thinking they are very special and Madhvacharya said, "None of you." And then they said, "But who will?" So then he looked and he told all the disciples, "You see that bull there?" He pointed to one bull. And this was the bull which used to carry all the works of Madhvacharya. Whenever Madhvacharya would go anywhere, this bull would have all books of Madhvacharya on its back and he would be going. And this bull had a speciality. He would, like cows and bulls do, constantly chewing grass. But whenever Madhvacharya would give class, the bull would stop chewing. So Madhvacharya said, "None of you will write, this bull will write commentary on my works." And this bull went on to become Jayatirtha, who wrote Nyayasudha, which is the commentary on all Madhvacharya's works. So the process of hearing sincerely, connecting to Krishna through this process is what is needed. And also many times if you are wondering why this process of hearing is not affecting my heart, why I am not going through a change, for the Padma Purana also explains that there are four conditions for hearing. If we practice these four, we can immediately see benefits of the process of hearing. What are these four? He says, if you do these four things, we will immediately get benefit. He says, first, Vishvaso Guru Vakeshu. So when the person is speaking Katha, Vishwas. I have faith that this person is representing the Parampara and let me hear with faith. Vishvaso Guru Vakeshu Swamin Dinatva Bhavana. Oh, I am a servant. I don't know, I am a fool, I want to understand. So if faith in the speaker and humility. Actually, the process of hearing itself is a sign of humility because the fact that we are sitting and hearing, this we are willing to allow sound to purify us. This is the second. Third, very, very relevant for modern times, and that is Mana Dosha Jayaschaiva. Conquering the mind at least during the period of the class, during the time of hearing. Because nowadays, Mana Dosha, the mind is so distracted, we are constantly on WhatsApp and chanting. And so many electronic gadgets, Facebook. So it's unavoidable sometimes. But at least during the period of hearing and chanting, let me not allow my mind to get distracted. And the last is this, that Katayam Nishchala Mati. Intelligence is focused on the sound vibration. That is what this bull was doing. And that is why Madhvacharya said that this bull will write commentary. It is said that only two people heard most attentively Bhagavatam. One is Parikshit Maharaj and second is Dundukari. Dundukari's pastime is a long pastime where Dundukari had become a ghost because he had committed a lot of sinful activities. So his brother Gokarna wanted to deliver him. So Gokarna was reading Bhagavatam every day. And many people, the whole village had come to hear Bhagavatam. But only Dundukari got benefit. What happened was they had kept a bamboo rod with seven holes. So, after the first day katha, at a certain time in the night, that bamboo, that hole, that node would explode. So like this, 7 days he spoke katha, and each day, one hole would get burst. So the last day when the katha was over, the Vaikuntha, the cosmic airship came. Vaikuntha Vasis came, Vaikuntha residents came, Vishnu Dutas. And they took Dundukari. So Gokarna protested. He said, "What about so many villagers here? What about me? Everybody is hearing Bhagavatam." So that time the Vishnu Dutas replied, "Everybody heard. But Dundukari was not only hearing, he was hearing attentively. He followed up Shravanam with Mananam. He was contemplating and because he did this, the node would explode. That was major chunk of karma got burnt and destroyed by his process of attentive hearing and contemplation on the sound vibration that was being spoken. Therefore, this is our process of hearing and chanting and connecting to Krishna through this process. And if we do that, we will also be able to, of course this is, along with this, as Srila Dwarkadesh Prabhu very beautifully said, that story of Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur's boat. You know, we may be practicing, but we also need to give up that anchor of material sense gratification. So if both these activities are going on, this associating with matter, as is being recommended in the scriptures, in this purport, and second, associating with devotees and hearing and chanting with them. If you do both these activities, then we will see our faith in Krishna becoming stronger and will also develop attraction and affection for Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. I'll repeat it on the microphone.
Disturb us during the course of our chanting and hearing.
And I remember one devotee, you know, I had to contact him urgently. So around 8 o'clock, I just called him up. And, you know, his phone was switched off. So I continuously kept trying him, and then eventually, you know, after the Bhagavatam class, you know, I called him, and then he picked up the phone, and then I told him, Prabhu, I've been trying to reach you. But he said in such a grave voice, he said, till Bhagavatam class, my phone remains switched off. So, I mean, it was a very strong, of course he must be listening to this also as I'm speaking. But the point is that what you made about hearing and chanting and how should not be having these gadgets and so on. So, just a comment, Prabhu, but a question that I had was, in the purport, it is mentioned that, we have to be careful that we don't associate with devotees who may be externally practicing Krishna consciousness, but, you know, they are somehow not really following the process of Krishna consciousness strictly. Now, my doubt is, you know, we see so many devotees and we want to associate with all of them. But then how does one really, you know, make out that this particular devotee is in a material consciousness, although externally is practicing the process of Krishna consciousness?
How do we make out if somebody is in material consciousness?
Yes, I mean, when we try to, see, we want to associate with everyone, but then, you know,
see, the test is simple. After associating, Sachinandan Maharaj gave this test. He said, the test is after that. After that association, what happens? Are you inspired to hear and chant, or are you inspired to watch a movie? Immediately, so the discussion that happens, the talks that happen, after that, what? Are you coming closer to Krishna? Is your service to Krishna increasing, improving? Is that association uplifting our consciousness? That is one. That is a standard test by which we can know. Ultimately, it's a test of our consciousness, you know, how we are rendering more service to Krishna and devotees. If you are hearing prajalpa, if you are hearing criticism, that is dangerous. Often what happens is, we want to hear something practical. Sometimes we say, "Arey, aaj ka class bahut practical tha." Yeah, or we say, "Prabhu, aaj kuch practical ho jaye." I'm not discounting the fact that we need to discuss on practical issues, but sometimes the subtle message that we are speaking here many times is, oh, maybe hearing chanting is not practical then. No, that's not the point. We sometimes overdo and overstress the easiness of Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, Prabhupada said, eat one gulab jamun and you can go back to Godhead. Or you hold my dhoti, I have the key from the back door. This is very hope-giving pastime which we should hear. But at the same time, Damodar Prabhu was quoting in his last class, Prabhupada said in one conversation, if I tell you how difficult it is to go back to Godhead, you will run away from the Krishna consciousness movement. That we don't want to hear. So the point is, yes, it is tough. So therefore we have to be careful. Our Bhakti Gan Goswami Maharaj was once approached by one PhD professor. It's an amazing discussion. I'll just tell in 1 minute what happened. So this PhD professor, she had done complete research on ISKCON. She knew ISKCON in and out. So she cornered Maharaj and she said, Maharaj, I have seen that there are two schools in ISKCON. One school of thought says that spiritual life is very easy and they only give, you know, some psychological tips and tools by which you can have peace of mind. It's very nice. They make you feel very good. That is one. And the other school of thought is always talking about crushing the false ego and how we have to be, you know, completely smashed and we have to be extremely in a mood of fallen. So then she asked Maharaj, you are in which school? So then Maharaj told her a very interesting answer. He said, both schools are not our philosophy. He said, first school, it will not work. If you give some psychological tips and mundane formulas and acronyms, he said, after some time everything fails. Because these are all superficial. And he said, second process of crushing the ego, and that may be helpful for bhakti, but that is not our path. He said, both these techniques are foreign to us. Our actual process is hearing and chanting. If we take shelter of the, he said, I am from the school of hearing and chanting. He said, if we take shelter of this process, then the false ego will get dissolved and we will understand, we'll go through that moment of clarity, we will be in the association of devotees, we will serve. So that is what I was saying. If, you know, when we are with devotees and we are finding a challenge, we need to ask, is my hearing and chanting becoming better? Is my service becoming better? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Jai.